This is 88.5 KRFY Pondere.
88.5 KRFY is listener-supported, commercial-free community radio for North Idaho. Become a member today at krfy.org. North Idaho News of the Week is brought to you in part by Evergreen Realty, commercial and residential property listings. Online at evergreen-realty.com. Good morning. You've tuned in to North Idaho News of the Week here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. My name is Jack Peterson, and across from me at the desk once again is Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing very well, more or less. Still trying to shake this dang cold, but yeah.
Well, it's a glorious day out there. There's some consolation.
Yes, it is a beautiful day, and it's Labor Day weekend, so I'm happy. We're also here in the studio with two reporters from the Sandpoint Reader. Sansre Mitchell is the staff writer, and Zach Hagedon is the editor of that newspaper, available on newsstands everywhere on Thursday mornings. And we're going to run down the headlines. Good morning to you both, though. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. We'll start actually right out of the Sandpoint Reader. The big first page item is that both Bonner County and Sandpoint seem to both be canceling their contract with the Better Together Animal Alliance. The sheriff has announced that he will not be renewing the contract, and I don't know yet, and we can discuss if it's totally finalized that Sandpoint will be making that decision as well. We'll talk about that a little bit more, I'm sure. Bonner County has passed their budget. They adopted a $75.2 million budget for fiscal year 2025. That budget passed 2-0, with Commissioner Williams abstaining from the decision. Construction to begin on 5th and Pine here in Sandpoint, which will alter the traffic flow and add a stoplight at that corner, that very busy corner. Something that's been discussed for years, and it looks like they're finally going to break ground. And out in Pondere, they opened phase one of the Field of Dreams recreation complex. Those are the four biggest stories that I found in this week's newspapers, but I'm sure there's more. What do you have, Chris? Anything I missed?
Well, you kind of captured it there. I'll mention that the stoplight that they're putting up at Pine and Fifth is actually, they're moving the stoplight from Church.
Right,
I suppose. It's moving a block over, and then they're going to restore the two-way traffic on Pine for that weird one block, one-way traffic that they, for some reason, instituted.
It is a little odd.
When they put in the bypass, so.
Yes. I'll be very interested to see how traffic changes when people don't have to make that zigzag to over to Church Street.
You know, we posted on Sandpoint Online just the notice that they're going to be doing that construction work. And a good measure of community interest in things is that it's went a little viral. It's reached, last I looked, it reached about 15,000 people and a ton of comments on the fact that, why was it ever built this way in the first place?
I was going to say, was the response is a little more positive than to some of the other changes that sometimes get posted?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people saying, oh, more money being spent. And then they'll go back to one-way streets again. And, you know, there are a lot of people that are dubious about the the decision making in our local government. So I'll say that.
Yeah. Last week was a huge week, and I hope we can. We also have time to talk about some old news. We did mention the big stories from last week, of course, on this program, but also we spent a lot of time talking about sports last week. So some of it feels like we may have given it a little short shrift, and we can talk about, for example, the city budget. Mayor Grimm was on this radio station on Wednesday.
Wednesday, yeah.
And I was just listening to that. A nice conversation, City Talk. And you can find that on our website now if you want to go back and listen to his perspective on what's going on in the city. I guess, can we start by trying to explain what's going on with the Better Together Animal Alliance and the conflict there, why the two sides can't seem to see eye to eye?
Yes, so this is definitely a months-long controversy and incredibly complicated. I think I had 7,000 words of notes when I was writing this story. But essentially, the Better Together Animal Alliance has been undercharging for their services for probably the past 30 years that they've been in partnership. And recently, they just balanced their budgets, and they realized that the city and the county weren't really... They were contributing on a per-dog basis, but they weren't really contributing to the overall service, like what it cost to maintain the building and the roads and all that. So they presented them with new service contracts, and they were discussed during both the city and the county's budgeting meetings. And both came to the conclusion that it wasn't really feasible. There was some difficulty. The county talked a little bit, but they seemed to cut out Better Together Animal Alliance and just kind of do their own thing. And then, of course, as you mentioned, Sheriff Darrell Wheeler flat out rejected the offer, which was seconded by the commissioners. And then the city, they are under obligation if they have to pay more than $5,000 to go out for bid. So they're going to let their contract expire in September. Submit a request for proposals, see who replies, if anyone, and then they should have that decision by October to see if they do indeed need to go back to Better Together or if they have to pave their own way, or I believe Mayor Grimm said find Farmer Joe who has some kennels out somewhere.
For a little background, the municipalities, counties, and the city are required by state law to take care of stray animals, to catch and kennel stray animals in some fashion. Right?
That is another sticking point. So it's specific to dogs.
Mm.
So they don't do anything with cats or anything like that. And the other issue is for cities. It's the opinion of the city of Sandpoint's legal counsel that if they don't require dog licensing in the city limits, that they're not actually required to go pick up the dogs when they're lost or enforce a dog at large charge on them. So they are looking to change their ordinance and remove their dog licensing requirement, which nobody really follows anyway.
Right.
And so once they do that, they won't have any legal obligation to pick up the dogs. They did clarify that they did want to do something because they have been doing it for 30 years, so why stop now? But it won't be a legal requirement.
Hmm. So Mayor Grimm spoke to this on Wednesday when he was in. And also a couple of weeks ago we had Mandy Evans in, and she discussed this in quite some detail. And it's an interesting take on what is statutorily required. And I looked up just this morning Idaho Code 25-2804, which deals with stray dogs. The statements by the sheriff is that, if dogs, if we don't have a dog licensing requirement in the county, then we're not required to deal with stray dogs. And of course, that's what the city's now saying as well. If we don't have a city licensing requirement, then we don't have to deal with stray dogs. I'm going to read this off if our listeners will forbear this. It's what it says, the code, is that all dogs other than those located in a municipality within said county which has enacted and is enforcing a dog license law at large without a collar with such license tag or disc as prescribed in this section shall be, there's a statutory requirement of the county, the duty of the sheriff to seize and impound these dogs. So the way it reads to me is that the municipalities have a, can enact dog licensing, but the county doesn't have that freedom to say, oh, well, we don't have dog licensing, we don't have to impound them. Because this says, you know, it's the duty of the sheriff to impound any and all dogs other than those located in the municipality that has enacted a licensing law. So the Sheriff Wheeler's interpretation is probably going to be called into question on that. Mm-hmm. And it's it is kind of interesting that the sheriff, I mean, Police Chief Coons is saying, well, we'll just get rid of the licensing requirement in Sandpoint, which as Zach mentioned, isn't really being enforced. And then we'll be absolved of our responsibility, our legal responsibility to deal with strays. When I was speaking with Mayor Grimm on Wednesday, what he suggested, well, maybe we'll actually start enforcing that law and make people buy licenses, and that revenue could be used to offset the costs of caring for stray dogs. So it's, I think, very much up in the air still.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the county's legal counsel has not weighed in, as far as we know, on Sheriff Wheeler's interpretation.
Yeah. I mean, it could come down to a lawsuit. Some, I don't know, the BTAA would bring it, but, you know, there are a ton of people that are concerned about humane treatment of animals in the county. And, Zach, you can probably remember when the animal shelter, if you wouldn't want to call it a shelter, was on Great Northern Road.
Right.
And how abysmal that was. Mm-hmm. That was back, 25, 30 years ago.
Well, I remember I was working at the Daily Bee when that was going on, and we went to a no-kill policy as well, and it was very controversial at the time. So it is interesting to see that we're still kind of navigating how we deal with stray animals in the county and the city. And I think that there is a very real concern about having a law in the books that you're not enforcing. And that's never a good position for any municipality to be in. When you open yourself to all kinds of liability. So I can definitely see why City Hall would want to get rid of this requirement, because it just washes their hands entirely of this thing. Because you really, again, don't want to have laws on the books that you're not enforcing. Mm-hmm. So that's like a whole other problem. But.
And the deal with the animal shelter is that they accept animals that are being surrendered by their owners, right? Because they can't take care of them anymore. But anybody that picks up a stray and brings it in, it falls under these statutory requirements of the city or county to care for them. So that's why they, city and county, have been contributing to the animal shelter. But what Mandy was saying was, well, if you know they're not going to contribute and they cancel the contract, then people that bring up strays will need to take them to either the county or the city, wherever they collected the animal. Mm-hmm. So. I don't know if the bottom line here is humane treatment of these stray dogs. I will say that I think both the city and county, if the county elects to even deal with it, if they're thinking that it's just going to be, oh, you pick up a dog, the statutory requirement is you got to hold them for 5 days. Mm-hmm. It extends to 7 days if it falls over a weekend. And then, you know, what happens then? And, you know, Mayor Grimm says, well, we're not going to be killing animals. That's not going to be what we're doing. But we can put them in a, you know, a private kennel and pay $50 a day, and would be a lot cheaper than what the animal shelter is proposing to charge. That's a lot cheaper if they're there for only 5 days. But as Mandy pointed out, you know, mm-hmm. two-thirds of stray dogs that come in, their owners never come and get them. So those dogs could be in there for days and weeks and months, sometimes even a year or two, some of the dogs. And the whatever the arrangement's going to be, I mean, if the city was paying somebody $50 a day and the dog is in there for a year, the bill's going to be a lot bigger than they might be anticipating. So
We're also talking about the number of dogs countywide that are turned in every year is in the hundreds, I believe. Right.
400.
Yeah,
400. Yeah, 406 last year, 65% of which came from the county, and mm-hmm. about 20% came from Sandpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, listening to Chris read that, the state statute, it seems to me that this is going to be a county problem, certainly going to be a county problem at mm-hmm. You know,
if somebody pushes on it, right?
Yeah,
I mean, the sheriff could just ask. The way I interpret it is, and, you know, it would probably come down to a judge having to say, hey,
yeah,
your interpretation is either correct or not correct.
Mm-hmm.
So, once again, we could wind up in that kind of scenario.
Well, this will be interesting. I guess to see what happens. Is there, especially in Sandpoint, it sounds like they're going to let the contract, as you said, let the contract expire, but it could be they might end up renewing it after they receive proposals September.
That was my impression. That, yeah. You know, the Animal Alliance will be free to give another proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And the numbers that Mandy put out were, you know, really big. What do you have, Sansri? It was like 65,000 for the city.
Yes, 65,773. It was about a 3,000% increase in
the marriage rate. Yeah, because last year they only paid 2,400 or 2,500.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, Mandy's rightfully pointing out, hey, we cost us a ton more to take care of these animals than 2,400. And the sheriff agrees. I mean, not the sheriff, the mayor agrees with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we should increase it, but he's... You know, the pushback is, well, there's got to be a more economical way than $65,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Other budgetary concerns. Bonner County did adopt its $75.2 million budget. Interestingly, it passed, but only 2-0, with Commissioner Williams abstaining. Why, who wrote that story? Sansri Mitchell. What rationale did... Commissioner Williams give for abstaining from that vote?
You know, we're not quite sure. She did not respond to a request for comment. She has stated publicly that she doesn't actually talk to the press anymore, mm-hmm. but she didn't really give an explanation in the meeting as to her abstention. She did say that she was essentially unsatisfied with the current budgetary process. She has been recommending that they switch to using the methods of the Government Finance Officers Association, which is a private nonpartisan organization that the county would have to pay to join their ranks. So that was the only little hiccup that she said there needed to be more communication with the public, and that would come from the GFOA.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Commissioner Ahmet was quick to respond that the county currently follows the generally accepted accounting principles that are recommended federally. So there was some disagreement there.
Okay. What are the big items in the county budget? Anything that caught your guys' eye as unusual or different than you would have expected?
Nothing I would say unusual. The biggest spender is, of course, the Justice Fund, which covers the Sheriff's Office, the Prosecutor's Office, and that takes up about $23.9 million of the budget.
All of our lawsuits.
Yeah.
That we have.
All of that. And the closest comparable expenses would be Road and Bridge, which is only $12 million, so almost half of that.
Okay.
So really, we're spending the majority of our tax money on people being arrested and people suing us.
Right.
Okay. The Field of Dreams Recreation Complex is open out in Ponderay, or the phase one anyway, which is there's a very nice picture that I thought was possibly an illustration. It looks so nice.
It's not AI.
No, that's a guarantee. That's really what it looks like in the reader, in full color. So the new developments in Ponderay, that's been a long time coming that they've been talking about that. I think what, 31 years?
Yeah. Since the first sort
time
of
somebody said it.
The first envisioning, you know, of a regional sports complex goes back about 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge deal to get this sort of really underway after all that time. And, you know, the city of Ponderé is pretty adamant about pointing out that the local option tax that they passed in 2019 is what has really enabled this to to come to fruition. And that's, you know, a 1% sales tax on all purchases in Ponderé. It's gone toward this project, but also toward sort of the stuff they're doing with the Ponderé Bay Trail, trying to connect, you know, Ponderé with its waterfront.
Yeah.
Because we often don't think of Ponderé as being a waterfront town, but it is. I mean, it actually has more lakeshore than Sandpoint.
Really?
In a lot of ways. I mean,
right.
I mean, if they were able to access that strip of lakeshore.
There's just a train that runs in between.
Right. Getting that underpass under the railroad tracks is really going to be critical to getting Ponderé its own lakefront.
Yeah.
So the local option tax is for this, for the Field of Dreams, and also for the I think it's front yard project is what they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Field of Dreams itself is going to operate not just for the benefit of Ponderé, but we can bring in soccer tournaments from all over the state. It's a facility that really can accommodate activities for all of the panhandle.
Yeah.
It is that robust and that big, and the facilities are gorgeous. And yeah, I mean, they've been working on this forever, and it shows.
Yeah.
they crossed their T's and dotted their I's and figured out how to make a good facility here.
Is that going to be a revenue generator then in the future for the
city?
I think
it has to be.
I mean, they'll be renting that too. I imagine, you know, the soccer associations and things like that for tournaments. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, they got grant funding too. So, I mean, it wasn't like this entirely fell on taxpayers' backs.
Right.
I think it does have to kind of pay for itself going forward to a degree.
Let's look back in time a little bit to last week when the city council approved its budget of $50 million, $50.5 million thereabouts. And also on the county commission chair, Luke Ahmet, announced his resignation effective September 7th. Ron Korn, Tom Cleveland, and Kim Peckham were nominated to serve out his term by the Bonner County
Republican Central Committee.
Thank you. Yeah. BCRCC. Yes. And that goes to the governor. Has he already decided? Has he made action on that?
We
expect it to be Ron Korn. Both Tom Cleveland and Kim Peckham have both announced that they think that Ron Korn should take the seat.
Well, and Ron Korn won the primary.
Right.
So he's already the presumptive.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to go through the general. But
he's the nominee and has a good chance of taking that seat. He
was clearly the choice of the BCRCC.
He is contested in the election, however.
He is. Right. Glenn LaFay.
Glenn LaFay, an independent. Uh-huh. Yes.
Anyway, that had been, I guess, long rumored, but Ahmet did make that announcement. What's the reaction to that? How did that go over at the time, and how's it been going over since?
Yeah, there was a lot of speculation that got brought up in the weekly meetings, and he wasn't actually present at the Bonner County Republican Central Committee meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So it was something that Senator Scott Herndon read, who chairs the board.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all done very quickly. And they read, they accepted nominations from their precinct committeemen, and then they used ranked choice voting to whittle it down from four candidates.
Ironically.
Ironically, yes. Yep. They laughed about it a little bit, considering they had just had an argument and continued an argument afterwards about ranked choice voting and how it would destroy the county, in their opinion.
For the open primaries initiative. That's
Prop 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but his replacement is not official yet. His final day is technically September 6th, and so they have to allow his seat to go vacant for... Okay. It's unclear, 24 hours, 1 minute, it's going to be sometime around midnight, and then they will submit their three names to the governor, and he will have 15 days to actually choose the appointment. And if for some reason he didn't choose it in the 15 days, then it would go back to the Republican Central Committee, and they would just elect Ron Korn.
Yeah. Okay. But Mr. Ahmed did not go to the meeting where those nominees were made, so there was no big political fireworks at that time.
No, and he has yet to make a public statement regarding it. He submitted, I think it was about a 2-line letter of resignation. Mm. So we're not quite sure on his thoughts yet.
Okay. He was an employee of the school district before. He was a county commissioner.
Boundary County School District.
Right. Yeah. But it does coincide with kind of the beginning of the school year. So I suppose he may be looking to pick up his old means of employment, mode of employment. Yeah.
I'd like to jump in with a question. Uh-huh. So the council's been considering a proposal from the mayor to put a local option tax, sales tax, on the ballot. And I think it was scheduled to come up for discussion on Wednesday.
It's going to – there's. I spoke with the mayor the other day, and he indicated to me that they're going to have an action item on this for the next council meeting. I mean, so far they've –
This just, coming Wednesday.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've mostly just had discussions.
Okay.
But
okay.
He is going to have – that on the agenda for
that'll be on the agenda for, is it on Wednesday? Is that the next council
right.
meeting?
Right. Yeah. The 4th.
Yeah, September 4th. Okay, I had that wrong then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they haven't met on that particular issue yet. So.
They've talked about it, and, I mean, he's brought his proposal, and they've sort of debated it, but we're going to hopefully see a decision about whether to put it on the ballot at the next meeting.
Yeah, and it has to be approved. That's probably their last chance to do it, because they got to get the language into the state to have it and certified for the ballot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And all those deadlines are coming up in September. Like, all this stuff has to happen in the next couple of weeks if we're going to see it on the November ballot. Okay. And, I mean, I don't know. If I was going to guess, I'd say they're probably going to approve it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the idea of dedicating local option tax dollars toward roads and infrastructure is popular. Mm-hmm. I think that the people of Sandpoint have been pretty clear that they're not happy with the quality of their road infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Mayor Grimm has made that a major priority of his administration. So this is a tool that we're going to have available to us only until we, you know, reach that population threshold where we're no longer a resort city,
which is 10,000,
which I guarantee
up right now.
I think if you walked around and did a hand census, you would probably find that we're over that limit now, but they base that on the official census, which happens every 10 years. And our most recent census has us at like 8,000 something, 8,900 or whatever.
8,600 or something like that. Yeah.
So under the 10,000 threshold, once we bump over that, we can't use this tool anymore. And one of the strategies that the mayor has sort of fronted is to get this local option tax in now and then lock it in for 10, 15, 20 years.
25 years.
Which other cities have done. When I spoke with him, he cited, I think it was Ketchum or Sun Valley or, you know, one of those sort of other premier resort towns in the state who looked ahead and said, wow, you know, we need this revenue. We're not going to be able to use this tool. Let's do it and do it in sort of almost in perpetuity. So I think that the popularity of that idea, that strategy, is going to carry it through the council, is my guess. If it does go through, some other maybe unintended or maybe unspoken angles of its benefit would be to backfill some other parts of the budget as well. When I was speaking with the mayor, he mentioned specifically bumping up salaries for police officers. We have a problem apparently in our police department where they don't get paid enough to live on their wage. So a lot of them have second jobs, which kind of shocked me a little bit. And I am planning to look into that further and speak with Chief Kuhn about it. But yeah, I mean, we don't need our police department and our police officers going around mowing lawns and, you know, doing side gigs. They need to be, you know, paid appropriately for their service. And I think the local option tax would also kind of benefit that part of the budget too.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see if that gets discussed at the council meeting. I mean, I hadn't heard that until I was on the phone with the mayor, but as far as I had understood, this was going to be entirely for road infrastructure. And
yeah. And in his talk on Wednesday, he was thinking keeping it single focused.
Right.
It makes it a lot easier for people to understand what they're voting for. But I think to your point, they could take some of the $1.5 million they currently use for roads and use some of that money out of the general fund for these other purposes,
right,
if they had more secure funding for specifically for roads.
And I think that's going to be critical to the success of this at the ballot, is keeping it, like you were saying, so targeted. Because, you know, the last time we did a local option tax, it was for Memorial Field, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people voted for that. And then some people later on had some kind of, I don't know, resentment that maybe that local option tax had a little bit of mission creep. So other things were being paid for with that money that they didn't necessarily think that they'd signed up for. So, and I think Mayor Grimm is very aware of that and wants to make this as targeted as possible so that people don't look back a couple of years from now and be like, hey, wait a minute, we voted for this tax and now it's not being, you know, applied to the things that we wanted.
Yeah. But then there's a pothole on my street.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Anybody on the council vocally opposed, or you think?
Not that I can tell.
Nope.
Yeah, I guess I'm very curious to see how the discussion shakes out at the next meeting.
Okay. It's 8:30. What's going to be in next week's paper? Anybody? What are you working on?
I can't tell you that.
We just never know. I know. We never know. Okay.
It's the news.
Stuff just falls on us from out of the
happens.
Sky.
Yeah.
Okay.
There'll be more on the council, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yes. We'll hopefully we'll have the news on what happens with that local option tax. We'll know whether or not we can expect it on the ballot in November.
Yeah, deal with it early enough in the night, right? Because
right,
you guys face a deadline on Wednesdays.
So. Right, and that is a challenge.
Yeah, sometimes they push the bigger discussions way late, and you can't get into the paper because of that.
Right? Yeah, I mean, I'm old. I have to go to bed.
Sorry, you guys, dude. You can't play the I'm old, I'm old card yet.
Maybe you guys should bring back the afternoon paper. Or the evening paper.
There we
go. You know, the Thursday Evening Post. You could just put it out. Yeah, have it on newsstands by the close of by like 5 o'clock. Then you could get all these stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's my advice.
that would just make the situation worse.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you're right. Then the council meetings would last until Thursday morning.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead with our regularly scheduled broadcast, but thank you, Sansre Mitchell and Zach Hagman from the Sandpoint Reader for coming in this morning and filling us in on all these things going on in our community. The Reader is on newsstands now with a nice black and white photo from City Beach on the cover, which is pretty cool. Very, what do you say? A quintessential Sandpoint photo, I would say. Image. And now it's time for Otto's Eclectic Mix.
Yeah. All right. Good day, folks.
Thanks.
Thanks.
This is KRFY 88.5 Ponderay.